You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Stugatz, you know that Tony has been trying for several weeks. He has been workshopping what has been a great question that has gotten a lot of response every time that he asks it, any room that he asks it in, except when we were trying to do it in Las Vegas in front of people during a live show when Billy undercut him from the very start and ruined the ability to ponder his question of whether a player in baseball who went 1-for-4 in every single game with a single for five straight seasons and had an 800-plus game hitting streak would make it into the Hall of Fame.
Yep, first ballot.
Zero career home runs, zero cares? Career extra base hits, a career 500 OPS.
Yeah, but DH doesn't play the field.
A hit in every game he played.
I mean, 810-game hitting streak.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Cody has now put out this question to a series of people. Okay, at the beginning, it was just Adnan Virk, Mike Schur, Boog Sciambi, five people, five baseball authorities. Boog Sciambi didn't answer, and the vote came
still,
back.
Still waiting to hear back from Boog. I tried to get it on to Billy because, like, I think you have a better shot at this than I do.
Classic Boog.
I have not asked Boog. I did ask for you, Jeff Conine and Craig Counsell.
Niner.
How many people have you now asked? How many responses have you gotten?
16. You want me to just rattle some names before I give you responses? We have Tino Martinez, Bob Costas, Keith Oberman, Mike Schur, Craig Counsell, Rich Waltz, Kyle Seeloff, Bill Ripken, Harold Reynolds, Carlos Pena.
Wow.
And I got sources. I'm expecting more submissions tomorrow. But of right now, I have 16.
Are you reaching out to all these people on your own?
It's kind of.
Right.
My tentacles are.
Okay.
I thought the five that we asked were supposed to be the definitive answer, and then we were going to go with
retire
that.
The question.
I didn't like that answer.
You can't contain this.
Right. It's like the
bigger than the five.
What is it, 5 years and hit every
I actually
every
thought
day.
It was Kirchin who was going to decide this for us. I can ask Scott Rowland. I mean,
yeah, sure, ask him.
Okay.
You have to play in Major League Baseball for 10 years to be eligible for the Hall of Fame.
A couple
so
nerds
not
said
even
that.
Eligible.
Kirchin and Costas got in there quick with that, but we followed up. This is a hypothetical. Yes, we're putting that rule aside for this hypothetical.
So you just are going to keep asking everyone until they say yes.
No, it's not about yes.
Billy, it's not about yes.
It seems because all the no's, you just keep asking more people.
No, it's the thought exercise for people in baseball, the real people that know. Okay, not like you who wants to undercut the
real
baseball.
People that know.
I'm trying to bring baseball back. By this conversation, we're going to see this on MLB Network one day. We're going to be like, wow, where'd that come from?
Well,
oh, here.
It's never going to get to yes, because this isn't a question that serious baseball people will entertain as putting in the Hall of Fame.
But this is why, like, when you talk to little kids, they're like, I want to be an astronaut. You're like, okay, you can be an astronaut. Like, it's exactly that. Just tell them what they want to hear so the conversation ends already.
The conversation is not ended because we're keeping it alive, but I'm guessing you're getting mostly no, because that person is kind. It's kind of amazing that they kept playing that person, given that at some point after 2.5 seasons of no extra base hits, you have to wave that person. No.
Now, all right. So look, where we left off was it was
wave that person. He's on base every game.
Yeah, but he's on base one every
he's
four
a
times.
Triple away though.
It's not a good on base percentage. He's a bad baseball player.
Let me just update the audience where we're at.
He's a bad offensive player.
What?
Where we left off last week, we had three no's. Tim Kirkjian said if an NBA player makes a three in 400 straight games, averages 3 points a game, no assists, no plays no D, he's not a Hall of Famer. That was Tim Kirkjian's rebuttal. Mike Schur also voted no. He said it would be exciting every time he started a game 0-for-3, though. Okay?
But they would break into coverage, and everyone would hate this guy because they'd break into coverage for a crappy player every time he's 0-for-3, Mike Schur said.
This is what Craig Counsell said, actually, because Craig Counsell's response...
Spoiler alert.
Well, I'm going to give him this one, but you can give them the other one. You have plenty of others, and now Stugatz is also texting Scott Rolen.
Wait, you're texting Craig Counsell?
Yeah.
I want to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at Wrigley Field. You can make this happen.
Wow.
So
I mean, boo good. I mean, if he responded.
Little
right,
little
and he Stugatz, won't. Craig Counsell's closer, I feel
right.
like, to the
source. That didn't take Jess long there.
Also Notre Dame guy.
Little Stugatz and everybody. Yep. Like, you know Craig Counsell, what can I get out of the deal?
Exactly.
But what he said is that is an ESPN Hall of Famer for sure. Huge ratings for that ground ball through the six hole.
Oh.
But late in the ninth? Oh, God, he did it!
And then Jeff Passan also said no. He said 500 OPS, awful. You can't reward someone for being consistently bad. So that's four no's we have because Dan just said Craig Counsell.
Right. Respectfully, Jeff Passan, that's the opposite of consistently bad. He is consistently okay.
Dude, right. 1-for-4. Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm okay. waiting on Scott Rowland. I'm waiting for a response. I also just asked Jabba Chamberlain. How about that?
Oh my God.
Our only yes never gonna answer as you. Of last week was Adnan Virk.
Okay. And it was like a yeah after he was like I already talked about this.
He
it
has
was
kids.
Very un
He knows the drill.
He did not think it through. Wow.
I got another yes.
Exactly, Billy.
Greg Cody says yes. Hall of Fame voter.
How about that?
I had to ask him. He's a Hall of Fame voter. Another yes. Tino Martinez.
Wow.
Taylor really? Knows his son. That's how we got to him.
Well, Adnan Virk, Billy, you accuse Chris of the thing I think you need to be accusing Adnan Virk of, because once he found out that he was the only yes, he started asking other people the question on Chris Cody's behalf. This is how this metastasized, is because Adnan Virk wanted more yeses, not Chris Cody.
Go ahead, Billy.
No, that's how it's going to end up on MLB Network, is he'll ask someone one day on one of his shows.
I was like, Adnan, you can have this, because I know Tony would love it if that question ends up on MLB Network.
Are we just like texting all the baseball players we know this question now?
Yes. All right.
I could probably get a few names.
Okay.
Send it off. Yeah. All right, so right now, as far as I've announced, we have four no's.
How long are we going to stretch this out? We've already talked about it on four shows.
We're 4-3 right now, but... when Harold Reynolds enters the game.
Oh, wow.
That's okay. A fourth yes. We are tied 4-4.
Really?
Harold Reynolds says he did something no one has ever done, but factually, on the hypothetical, he wouldn't get in. So he's basically saying
that's
he would never get in.
No,
no, but he's saying he would vote for him. He's saying yes, but he's like, he'll never get in, but I'd vote for him.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Craig Mish says no.
No.
Wow.
We're at 5-4 now. Jeremy just told me that.
Jeez. No, that's 6-4. Roy.
No, I think it's 5. I don't know. All right, I know we have four yeses. That's what I know for a fact.
Yeah.
Huh.
Craig Counsell says no. Rich Waltz says no. Rich Waltz, former Marlins broadcaster, says that team that kept him in the lineup at DH should be disbanded.
They have the highest ratings at everybody.
Disbanded is what he wrote.
Disbanded, yeah.
I think it also depends what market we're talking about here, too.
Hmm.
You guys want to hear from Keith Oberman?
Yes. Yeah.
Usually no.
Oh.
Nobody who hit more than 60 home runs is in the Hall of Fame. Two straight no-hitters doesn't get you in the Hall of Fame. Two-thirds of those who threw no-hitters in a season aren't in the Hall of Fame. The guy who struck out 500 men in a season isn't in the Hall of Fame. I think that's a no for KO.
Applying logic. Like, I mean, geez, what's the matter with
him? I just got patched into my headphones. Raul Ibanez.
Oh.
Okay. He says, if you have an 800-game hitting streak, you're Jesus Christ.
I don't think that's a direct quote.
That is an absolute direct quote from my
head. But are you in the Hall of Fame?
Is Jesus?
Bill Ripken says no.
Wow.
Oh,
face. Mention that.
Sure. Jeff Conine says no. He says a remarkable feat in an unremarkable career.
Did you just call Bill Ripken a butt face?
No, no. I called him old f- face. Worse.
Oh.
That's famous. That's his thing. It's on his baseball card. Do you guys not know this?
No.
Yeah, Google Billy Ripken F face. Well, you,
I will not do that.
No. Yeah, no, do
I'll
it for
trust
real.
You.
No, do computer. It. It's
oh, guys, a dangerous game, Billy.
You guys don't know anything. Uncultured swine.
No, he's right.
Thank you. Mm. Finally, a smart person in this room.
You want to go ahead and tell us more of the story? His baseball card.
His baseball card says it on the barrel of on the knob of his bat. It says F face, and it's a valuable baseball card because they didn't realize that it said F face. So there's all these baseball cards of Billy Ripken that say F face on it. And then they had to like go out and put one out that didn't say that because it says F face on it.
So it's 10-5. Check back tomorrow for more votes.
And it's not disbanded.
Disbanded.
Don Levitard.
Lou Holtz, number
I
one.
I can tell you. Tripping my balls off.
I can't
play
get
a little touch of gray.
You cannot give me enough fake Lou Holtz saying any number.
Tripping my balls off.
Weird. You can't give me enough.
Stugatz.
The drool on the microphone. I'm not sure
sucking
what you're
on
doing.
A pacifier to avoid eating my own face.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz. It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Miller Lite. Great taste, 96 calories, available for delivery. Dan, he's far from his prime. When he was terrorizing opponents on the pitch, both in England and in Spain, doing it while biting their ears in the process. And like most people, in their later years, he moved to Florida for a slower-paced life. But this weekend, he turned back the clocks, bringing his scoring boots with him, and bagged a brace at a moment's notice. And Dan, just like that, make no mistake about it, with two goals in Inter Miami's win over Orlando City, Luis Suarez is back.
I can't believe that you're... He's back.
He's back.
That's the most stunning he's back I've ever heard.
Big soccer fan. You know that, Dano. Congratulations to Caitlin Clark for breaking the all-time NCAA scoring record previously held by Pete Maravich. Pistol Pete. Just so we're clear.
No.
In my personal record book.
No.
It's still Pete's record. Because unlike Pistol Pete, Caitlin didn't do it in 3 years. And did it with a three-point line. That, Stugatzbook.com. Why are you shaking your head? I mean,
it's just
give Pete some cred.
Okay, it's important that we do that today.
Oh, what do you mean?
Instead of Caitlin
44
Clark,
a game.
It's important.
She's great. I said she's great. It's Pete's record in my personal record book.
Hey, Pete, do it on color TV.
Half of it he did, I think.
Justin Fields. Unfollow the Bears. Love that. Love it, man. What do you think he means by that? Johnny Manziel. Boycotting the Heisman Trophy presentation in support of Reggie Bush because it doesn't sit right with his morals. Dan, you know what the M in Manziel stands for?
Morals.
Yes. Well, look at you. Following along. Johnny Morals.
He did say he was humbly removing himself from the ceremony because it doesn't sit right with his morals and values.
Humbly.
Humbly.
Sam Hartman. Looks like a better looking Keanu Reeves. Yeah?
It's just the hair.
Well, he's better looking.
It's just the hair. He's also 30 years younger, Stugatz.
You don't have to pit two good-looking men against each other.
I'm just saying prime Hartman, prime Keanu. And prime Keanu, everyone knows, is Point Break. Who's better looking? Sam Hartman. Yeah? Thanks. How'd we not talk about Eric Bieniemy going from Super Bowl-winning offensive coordinator to out of the league in 2 years? Life comes at you fast.
Well, we didn't talk about just the job he had to take in a conference that's falling UCLA. Apart for a team that nobody wants to be a part of, to be an associate head coach.
If you're ever looking for DePaul, you can always find them at the bottom of the Big East standings, the Blue Demons. Stash this away in the Something to Ponder file, Tony. Is Caitlin Clark the best athlete to never win a championship? No need to discuss it now. Just stash it away for a rainy day. I mean, it has to be her or Kevin Durant, right?
Where did that shot at DePaul come from?
He was just watching basketball this weekend. He's like, yeah. He hasn't paid attention to them since Dallas Comegys was there.
The great Ray Meyer.
It's the last time they were any good.
Some DePaul kid is listening to the show right now like, where did that come from?
Unnecessary.
It's funny you guys mentioned this because I wrote down, thinking back, I'm not sure why you'd be looking for DePaul. Nobody is ever looking for DePaul.
Chicago.
Is really looking for DePaul?
That? It's in one of those states that Dan thinks is one state.
The Blue Demons.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Steve Martin. Sauce Gardner, in fairness to Mecole Hardman, the Jets' offensive game plan isn't the most difficult code to crack. First down, rush for 3 yards. Second down, rush for minus 5 yards. Third down, pray. Fourth down, punt. It's the way they've been doing it for 40 years. I hate them.
That story, the Mecole Hardman story, is great for a number of different reasons, but one of them is him allegedly selling the game plan or giving the game plan to the Eagles?
Eagles and the Chiefs.
But then the Jets beat the Eagles.
And they had their best offensive game against the Chiefs. Oh, man. Notre Dame left tackle and projected top 5 pick, Joe Alt. Ran a 5-second 40-yard dash at 6'8" and 321 pounds. They're not making O-linemen like they used to, Dano. How?
I know.
The Knicks winning on the road in Cleveland without Jalen Brunson, OG, I can't pronounce his last name, and Julius Randle. Gritty win behind 28 points from the Italian kid from Delaware, Dante DiVincenzo. It's funny to like 12 people. You're one of them.
No, not really. I'm not one of them.
Chop Robinson is a great name for a defensive lineman.
Top 10 for me. Like, he's got to go in the top 10 just because of his name.
That's great, Chop. Inter Miami beating Orlando City 5-0 in the Battle of the Bright Line. Look at that. Messi, do it in the... What?
Huh?
Do it in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. LeBron, you score another 40,000, you'll never be him. LeBron, less points, more rings. Caitlin Clark, you too. The Wizards went 0-12 in February. The W in Wizards stands for winless. Top 5 athletes or entertainers that connote a wizard. OLI, Ozzie Smith. Number 5, Wiz Khalifa. Number 4, John Wooden. Wizard of Westwood. Number 3, Wandy Rodriguez. Number 2, J.K. Dobbins.
It's a rage.
Number 1.
Thank you. I thank you, Tony.
Merlin Olsen.
Tony doing a writing gesture with his hand. Yes, thank you.
Writer,
JK's
he's
an
he's
author.
A writer. Yes. 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 Thank you. I mean, watch out for Nashville. The Preds. PGA. Live. Golf. Getting chippy. What's going on there, man? Those guys don't like each other.
They're fighting over money.
Well, some guys took the money and some guys didn't. You can't blame the guys who took the money. Like, get over it.
I thought you just meant they're using their wedges a lot.
Yeah. Manchester is blue. Since Jake Dibbler took over at Ohio State, they are 4-1 with wins over Purdue, Michigan State. And now a 23-point beatdown of Michigan. Don't let the Buckeyes get hot. It's March, Dano. J.J. Watt should only play hockey in Lake Placid. The Warriors lost by 52 points to the Celtics. Steve Kerr, for your sake, I hope the ink is dry. That guy's ridiculous.
What? What do you mean? He's ridiculous.
$35 million for Steve Kerr? Get out of here. It's absurd. Michigan is 2-17 in the last 19 games. Juwan Howard, don't let the door hit you in the ass on your way out.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Lebatard Show. Average age of the person who says, don't hit the door, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. And then just put over under dead.
Fair.
I mean, it's sorry unbelievable. It's like, what is that?
I don't know. I have zero doubt J.J. Watt insists that the 1980 gold medal game was against Russia. The Soviets. It was against Finland, everyone. It wasn't Russia, but J.J. thinks it's Russia.
He doesn't.
I think he does. I'd be shocked if he doesn't.
No. You know, where is the straw man here on this thing? Where is it? There.
Straw man. But I have zero doubt. It doesn't mean. If J.J. doesn't have Jim Craig and Mike Ruzioni in his top five athletes of all time, then I simply don't know what's what nowadays. Nowadays.
Of all time.
If you ask J.J. Watt, top five athletes of all time, you don't think he's putting Jim Craig and Mike Ruzioni in there?
It was a.
Are you crazy?
It was a hockey
and
game.
And Ken Morrow?
45 years ago. J.J. Watt's not even 45.
Oh, he doesn't care.
Nobody gets why we're talking about J.J. Watt, Lake Placid, and the 1980s.
Because he's playing hockey over the weekend.
He thinks you know that.
I'm so confused.
J.J. Watt was playing hockey, and he thinks we all knew that.
Well, I mean.
Get him in the goal. Looks
we're doing a sports show, I mean.
Oh, you're going to judge people for not knowing about stories.
I didn't know what happened to the Knicks 2 weeks ago.
You don't know how to pronounce their players' names.
Dan, I don't want to alarm you, but Shohei Ohtani has played 3 spring training games and is batting over 700. The top of their lineup is Mookie Betts, Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman. 4 MVPs between 3 hitters. How did Rob Manfred allow this? That's crazy.
Atlanta's better.
Are they?
They have Chris Sale, apparently, I just saw.
What?
Braves have Chris Sale.
No way.
Yep.
He's still around, huh? It's a bad contract.
Good for him,
that
though.
That sucks. Really?
Yeah, had an injury in Boston. Mm-hmm. Get him out there.
Xavier Worthy broke the 40-yard dash record running a 4.21 at the combine. Fast. That's all I got.
Really? That's excellent analysis.
That's my observation.
Not
wrong. He's fast.
He's not wrong, but it is the most obvious of the observations. The guy who ran the fastest time in the history of the combine is fast. It's not a great observation.
I'm not hearing a lot of it today, though.
Right.
Just that simple.
Who else is saying it? Matt Rempe.
Everybody.
Recently made his NHL debut.
More people than are talking about J.J. Watt playing hockey. I
mean, they're giving more.
Should be talking.
They're giving more, though. Like, no one's just being, like, fast.
Yeah. Matt Rempe. Recently made his NHL debut for the Rangers and already has 5 fights in his last 7 games. He has spent more time in the penalty box than on the ice. That's what being an enforcer is all about.
Goon.
Hockey player. In honor of the great Chris Mortensen, the Chris Mortensen, top 5 information guys in sports media history.
Wow.
OLI. John Clayton. The professor. Number 5, Jay Glazer. Number 4, Adam Schefter. Number 3, Peter Gammons. Number 2, the Miami bouncer that called in, told me and Dan that Shaq was getting traded to the Suns. We dismissed him.
I saw him Friday.
5 minutes later, Shaq was traded to the Suns.
The guy.
You saw the bouncer?
He wasn't a bouncer. He's the Dare t-shirt guy. Oh. I saw him Friday. He introduced himself
t-shirt guy? Like, drugs Dare?
Huh.
Like he invented the Dare t-shirt?
No, he was wearing it the day that he broke the story, the single greatest story this show has ever broken, because we haven't had a bigger one unless it's my engagement. A betrayal
my
by,
dad, yeah.
by
Scoops,
Greg got that one.
Cody.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the biggest story we've ever had. That guy broke the story that Shaq had been traded to the Heat, and we laughed at him and dismissed it.
What does he do now? Where'd you see him?
I saw him at Feast with the Beasts at the zoo.
Wow. Yeah. I was there. I didn't see you. Okay. Dan was in VIP.
I was there with the Dare t-shirt guy. We were in VIP.
By design, Bill.
Being served beans.
Roy, you remember that as a bouncer, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was he ever a bouncer?
I don't think he was ever a bouncer.
Always a t-shirt guy?
No, maybe he
Dare
was a
t-shirt.
Did he sell the t-shirts or maybe, just
no,
wearing
he was wearing
t-shirt?
One. He was
he
wearing one.
He didn't
one.
Invent it, though.
He did not invent the Dare t-shirt, no.
Huh. I have one of those. Those Dare shirts. I think I got it in elementary school. It finally fits me.
Did it work?
Oh.
Not really.
We laughed at t-shirt guy off the radio, me and you.
That's right.
Number one.
He'll be happy to know we're talking to him about him again.
Do you think the percentage of kids that wore Dare t-shirts, like there's a higher percentage of kids that did drugs or didn't do drugs?
Did.
It's my weed smoking shirt.
Is it?
The kids that wear them now wear shirt? It, ironically, yes. To do drugs in.
All my shirts are.
In the entire closet.
Smoke weed in all of them. Mort, hopefully I'll see you in heaven. Coin toss for me. One person I can assure you won't be seeing, is a certain former Baylor head football coach, because he's going straight to hell. Speaking of hell, Arp Riles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
You have it as a coin toss that you're going to hell?
50-50.
Don Lebatard.
Twist and shout.
Stugatz.
Twist and shout.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We will bring in Jemele Hill in a second, but our Iowa correspondent, who's not even working today, is insisting on coming in here and cheerleading. I think she might have some objections to some of the opinions you've had today.
I heard you during the break saying
we have not reached equality until I can say Caitlin Clark's a choker for not winning a championship.
Am I wrong?
Lucy, that's right. That's where he started. That's where he started today. We will get to Jemele in a second, but do we have imaging? We've got imaging.
We think.
Well, he told me he had imaging.
Lucy Rodine, Iowa correspondent.
Have at it, Lucy. Tell us all of your thoughts from yesterday.
Yesterday was maybe my favorite moment of like my all-time Iowa fandom. And I know you're thinking, Lucy, you're an Iowa fan. There aren't that many moments. And that might be true. But yesterday was still so high on the list. Just when it started off college game day, you see the crowd. They all have their Women's Basketball Lives Here shirts. You're like, oh, my God. Maya Moore comes out. Caitlin Clark screams. It was the best moment of my entire life. She was so happy. She was so pure. Then for her to go out, break the all-time NCAA scoring record, all-time. I know there's conversations about NAIA and D2 scores that have scored more than Caitlin. That's not the point of this right now. The point is that Caitlin Clark came in. They beat the crap out of Ohio State. I feel like the score was closer than it actually was. If Iowa plays like that, if Hannah Stolke plays like that, if we see Sydney Folter keep that going, Iowa will win the national championship. We're going to win. Stu, you won't be able to say that anymore because we're going
to
win.
I hope I never have to say it again, to be honest with you.
A technical free throw is not the way to do that.
Well, she was a little off in the first half. She was trying to do a little too much. Caitlin, she got a little yippy. You saw this ahead of the Kelsey Plum record. You could see that Caitlin was kind of in her head about it. Once, I didn't like the technical free throw, and I also don't think that should have been a technical. However, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Iowa won. She went off, had a great game. Not even her best. I was like, oh, she probably left 15 out there. Still had over 30. My girl. I'm so proud of her.
How you do it absolutely matters. I'm with Dan on this. I would have missed the tech. I would have.
You would have missed it on purpose.
Get in a more traditional way, flashy way. Yeah.
Oh, bullshit. Get out of here.
I think it works because she broke Kelsey Plum's record on that like insane logo 3. She already had that moment. And I hope that Caitlin said, I don't care about the record. I just care about getting the win. And that's why she made her free throws, because she's a team player.
How hard was it for Travis Scott to get to that game physically between snow, airports, and travel?
Well, I don't know if you've heard about global warming. So it was 60 degrees there. So it was lovely. He was able to get there quite easily. Iowa actually has an airport very close by that's not like impossible to fly into. So he probably had a little private jet land in the Cedar Rapids or Iowa City airport. He came
in. Or in Indianapolis.
Or Not Indianapolis.
Oh,
it's just seven Dan's hours bad. Away. It's 7 hours away.
They also, by the way, ESPN like four times called Iowa, Iowa State and put up Iowa State graphics. That pissed me off. That was not cool.
What other thoughts do you have before we give the floor over to Jamel? We just wanted to get you to celebrate for a few minutes.
This is such a cool moment. And as an Iowa fan, as a diehard Caitlin Clark fan, like, just take it in. Enjoy it. I've been watching her for 4 years at Iowa. I remember when she committed to Iowa. It still doesn't, like, I'm not used to it. Every time she shoots one of those crazy logo threes, I'm like, why are you doing that? Every single time that I see her vision, I'm like, this is, we're watching one of the greatest to ever do it. We should just enjoy it. We should be there. We should live in the moment. And you know what? Hannah Stolke, shout out to you. You don't get the praise you deserve, and Iowa will win the national championship if she can continue this. It's all about Hannah. Oh, and look, I got my
Lucy
shirt.
Rodine, Iowa correspondent.
Thank you, Lucy. We appreciate the time. We will not read any of the criticisms that say there's no three-point line or shot clock when Pete played and he used a larger basketball.
But how is that Caitlin's fault? What does that have to do with her? What is she supposed to do about that?
I ran the math really quick. It looks like at 19.9 three-point line, Pete would have shot 13 three-pointers a game and averaged 57 points per game.
Okay, we don't want to do that. Get out of here.
He did that outside the imaging.
Get out of here. Right. Lucy, good talking to you. Thank you. We'll see you later this week.
Iowa's going to win the Natty. Everybody write it down. Put money on it.
Lucy Rodine, Iowa correspondent.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Thank you. Jamel, what are your thoughts here? Because it is quite the phenomenon. You've spent a lifetime covering sports. We haven't seen anything like this before.
No, we haven't. But let me just say real quick, God bless you, Lucy. God bless you. Don't let this industry take this unbridled enthusiasm that you feel right now. How you feel right now witnessing this as a student journalist, like, keep this feeling with you forever, because they will try to destroy it. They will try to beat you down. Keep it, Lucy. Keep it. Anyway.
No, you're so right. No,
she's wrong. She's not a student journalist. No, she's a professional.
But she's got the enthusiasm.
Oh, I thought she was a student journalist. I'm so sorry, Lucy. I didn't mean to disrespect her resume.
I'm an
My
ass.
Bad.
She graduated.
It might have been the imaging.
She graduated. Okay, I thought she was a student journalist.
She has the enthusiasm of a student journalist, and you are right, as a grizzled veteran, to notice that the business will eat her up and chew her out. She will not sound like that 15 years from now, just dealing with us. Yeah.
No, she won't sound like that at all. In fact, she will sound just how I'm about to sound right now in about 2 seconds when you guys cue the neighborhood friendly race lady music. I will sound just like Hitler will sound 15 years
your
from now.
Your friendly neighborhood race lady.
We're not there yet, though. We're not going.
I'm worried how she's going to sound next year without Caitlin Clark on her team, to be perfectly honest with you. Because then she's just going back to rooting for Iowa.
It's true. But what did you make of everything you saw, Jamel, yesterday? Because, like I'm saying, even as I watch this growth and I talk about some of the things that we've talked about, which is like that regular season college basketball ratings are better than regular season NBA ratings. Caitlin Clark is at the front of a movement that I never expected to see flourish in a place like Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just really incredible to watch all these new fans coming to the game. The fact that Caitlin has created her own economy. And this is the moment, I think, in women's sports. But let's just say women's basketball, because we've seen, obviously, with women's soccer, we've seen some other very important seminal moments in other women's sports. But for women's basketball, this really feels like their time. I mean, it's been an escalating movement. Ratings the last 5 years have been really incredible, both at the college level and at the WNBA level. And now there is somebody else, maybe a bigger phenomenon than we've seen maybe in maybe 15 or 20 years, somebody that is going to transition to the WNBA and bring hopefully all of this enthusiasm, these fans, all of this with her. It felt, I said this last year when Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark obviously scored it off in the women's Final Four, is that this very much feels like this could potentially be the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson kind of moment, if you will, in the sense of that something that was so special at the college level transferred over to the professional level, and it changed the NBA forever.
Have you given any thought as all of the streaming services fight for sports content and these are undervalued rights properties, what this is going to end up going for when this stuff sells for what it's worth?
Yeah, it's grossly, it's a huge bargain right now, I think, women's sports, especially women's basketball, if you think about it. And all I ask people to do as they're constantly ramming the women's game up against where the men's game is in its current form is to look at the same measure of time of when women's or when men's sports started to take off, like how long that took. It usually took, you know, 2, 3, sometimes 4 decades for it to really solidify and come together. And I think this is what you're starting to see the evolution of now, all the hard work, the fact that a lot of these women have been in this game and been committed to this game when there wasn't the type of payoff that you're seeing Caitlin Clark have now. You know, there was something, even though this was a great moment, Dan, I have to be honest, there was one small bit of it that was sad. And this is where the conversation takes a turn. I saw something that Lynette Woodard said. Now, Lynette Woodard, one of the greatest players in women's history. And when she played in college, it was still under the AIAW, which was the governing body for women's sports before the NCAA began to include women's sports. So quick history lesson, everybody. Not until the early 80s did the NCAA actually include women's sports. So they had their own separate governing body, of which Lynette Woodard had the record for a large school, the scoring record for a large school. And she said that if it wasn't for Caitlin Clark, people wouldn't remember her. And that made me really sad. And because the unfortunate downside, if you want to call it that, to Caitlin Clark's success, she's so great, she deserves all this attention. The Nike ad was phenomenal. But it also makes you understand the erasure that has happened in this game. And Lynette Woodard, again, I said she holds the large school scoring record. Pearl Moore actually holds the lower school scoring record for the AIAW, which was 4,061 points. None of these scoring records are included with the NCAA. And that's the shame of it, is that they didn't transfer over the scoring records. And I'm not saying that that diminishes in any way what kind of player and what kind of performer and what kind of talent that Caitlin Clark is. But when people are talking about who she's doing this on the shoulders of, a lot of it is Black women whose, frankly, legacies have been erased. And so I hope this is an opportunity, a teachable opportunity for people to understand the people that came before them. And so when you hear someone, I know she got into a lot of trouble, but when you hear Cheryl Swoops talking about and trying to contextualize what Caitlin Clark has done, she's probably thinking not only about herself, but all these other women who have come before her that have had their legacies pushed aside and erased, because that's just in many ways how sports fans are programmed to do when it comes to women's sports. So I hope this is a good opportunity for people to learn more about the great players that have preceded this moment.
I don't know if that, like, I hope the same thing, but I don't know if that's happening at all, because I think the coverage of women's college basketball this season has completely ignored the fact that South Carolina just had their second back-to-back undefeated season. They haven't lost at home in like 3 or 4 years. Damn. And they're the best team in the country right now, ranked number one, undefeated, 27-0, haven't lost an SEC regular game in years. And like, I feel like they're getting no national attention. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that we, as a entire like sports media industry, don't cover women's sports very well to begin with, and also the jobs keep shrinking more and more too. But I'm wondering, Jamel, how you feel about that and the fact that, like, it feels like, yes, we're talking about women's basketball more, but it's mostly just Caitlin Clark in Iowa.
Well, if you recall, and I'm so glad that you brought that up, if you recall a couple years ago, Paige Beckers, the obviously outstanding player for UConn, she gave her ESPY speech because I think she was awarded Female Athlete of the Year. During her speech, she made a point to recognize the fact that the entire sport, and even the sport in the moment of where it was in that particular time, was a sport that was built off the contributions and the effort and the commitment of Black women. That's not to diminish what white women have done. I have had these conversations with Black women who have played basketball, who currently play basketball, and with some who coach basketball, and they don't begrudge, and I don't want to collectively speak for all of them, but one thing that we have certainly talked about in the last few years is how there are certain machines that get behind certain players and not others. Like, you wouldn't know, looking in many ways at women's basketball, to know that Angel Wilson is probably the best player in the world. And you probably wouldn't know that. And you look at her success, you can now add a New York Times bestselling author to it. And but these machines, I have to be honest, a lot of times, not saying it's strictly the time, a lot of times they do follow, white players. And there is this worry and this concern that a lot of the phenomenon is being built specifically around certain faces for certain reasons. And so that's why Paige Bueckers, her speech a couple years ago was very meaningful, and it meant a lot to a lot of the players who are playing in the game who see this kind of happen. And I get it with Caitlin Clark. I mean, living in Iowa, playing for a university that traditionally has not had some of the other success. It's an underdog story. It's a middle America story. And she is playing the game in a way we have never seen a woman play the game that represents where we are in the modern form of basketball. She's Steph Curry in so many ways. And while there is this phenomenon there and swirling and bubbling and creating this tornado of events, I think it is very, I don't think it diminishes or takes away from her success at all to say, wait a minute, how did we get here? And what does this really mean? Not just for Caitlin Clark, but for all players.
When you mentioned the history, though, you mentioned Magic and Larry, and Larry's whiteness helped all of that become what it was. Like, those games were on tape delay before those finals games were on tape delay before we had a white guy and a black guy fighting for stardom, right? Because what Jessica's mentioning is true, but it's so much in that sport, we gravitate toward the stars more than the teams.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right, Dan. I mean, that was part of what it was. It's like you had white guy from Indiana against a black guy from Michigan. And even though Lansing is the capital of Michigan, but it is a smallish town, maybe not as small as where Larry Bird grew up. But the reality is that those optics were helpful in growing the game. And even though there was that undercurrent of race that was forever there, it did help grow it. And we saw how strong that undercurrent of race was between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And frankly, even with Cheryl Swoops, and don't get me wrong, I understand that there was factually some things that Cheryl Swoops got wrong in characterizing her game. And later on, you know, those things were corrected in that same podcast. But, you know, Cheryl Swoops talked about the fact that she was called a racist for critically analyzing her game. And if anybody could analyze her game, you would think Cheryl Swoops would be qualified. So that bubbling, that undercurrent is there. Because even when I bring up Caitlin Clark, it's like, and we've seen this so much in sports before, Dan and Stu, is that if you don't call them the greatest thing you've ever seen, if you don't say, hey, this is the most exciting women's player ever, this is the best women's player ever, that you're somehow being a hater. And if you're black and saying it, somehow you're being a racist toward Caitlin Clark. And it's like, no, I've just watched 30 plus years of women's basketball. And I will say she's one of the best college players in history. She is definitely the most exciting women's player in the game right now. But the extra platitudes turns this conversation into something it's not supposed to be. We're supposed to all feel like Lucy right now, but there's always these other things. And, unfortunately, when you become a grizzled veteran, you can't unsee some of these things.
It's true. It's like you want, I think the Caitlin Clark conversation should happen, but also it would be great if the rest of the sport got some coverage, at least like a little bit. I feel like this season has been so focused on it, which then, like you said, it adds to this feeling of like, you don't want to take anything away from it, but you wish there was just more. Like, I wish there was just more of it nationally.
And you could tell in the analysis, too. And that's another part where it's clear that there needs to be some growth in this game, is that you're having a lot of people chime in who have not watched beyond maybe Caitlin Clark in Iowa, beyond maybe the last couple of years. And so you also see sort of this vast hole in terms of who is talking about women's sports. Certainly there's a lot of incredible female analysts, but Caitlin Clark, her success hasn't gotten a lot of them positioned to talk about Caitlin Clark, even though they've been talking about women's basketball for a long time. People are, by default, looking at the men to contextualize what is happening. I mean, God bless Shaq. I know, you know, when he said that she was the best women's player in history, and I'm like, dude, I mean, Cheryl Miller's still here, right? Like, I'm not saying that those conversations shouldn't be had, but that's what's happening, is that people are going to Shaq. They're going to, you know, men who certainly watch the game, but the women's game, while all still basketball, it's a different game. And I think we need more people to be able to analyze this game properly, who are women who have been doing this for a long time.
That was your friendly neighborhood race lady.
Was there any moment for you cooler yesterday than the way Caitlin Clark squealed when she saw the Pioneer? She saw Maya Moore. I don't know if she thinks she's better than Maya Moore, but she saw Maya Moore and was delighted by it.
Yeah, that was an amazing moment. And that's about, you know, this torch that has passed. I mean, you know, you think about Maya Moore's age and why she left the game. Maya Moore should be playing right now. But I thought that was great to see, and great to see Caitlin acknowledge somebody who's been obviously a tremendous influence on her career. And again, this offers a entry path and an entryway for those who are just now discovering women's basketball because of Caitlin Clark. I don't begrudge you. I'm not going to do you how sometimes soccer fans will do new fans that come to their sport and just totally haze them the entire time. Welcome, and I'm glad you're here. But while you're here, make sure that you look through those archives to see some of the women who have done it before.
See you later, Jamel. Good talking to you.
All right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.